Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League, Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter at podcastrotr. That's podcastrotr.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode.
I am Chris.
I'm Alan.
And today we will be covering Heat M of Robot Wars Season 4.
And what podcast are we?
You know the podcast, you clearly clicked on it.
This is Rise of the Robots. And yeah, so this is Heat M, which is certainly a unique episode in terms of some very different robots.
Yeah. Unique being the nice way to sort of say that.
Yes. So, we will get on to our first match straight away.
From Barkstone, Lincolnshire, Humphrey. State of your fucking bootleg Sonic the Hedgehog mascot, bro.
I mean, it just... It's a red and black box. It's got a flipper in theory.
It's got all sorts of goodies.
Yeah, it's not the only robot that has this problem of it has lots of small little weapons.
And it's also not the last robot where the team seem so much more confident than
yes.
They probably should be. Their opponents, from Colchester, Essex, Steel Avenger.
Which now has polycarbonate armor instead of shiny metal.
Shiny, shiny.
Axe still hasn't reached its full potential. It is a kind of triangular, rectangular robot with axe. As I said, the axe has not yet reached its potential, though. Nowhere near it.
From Ash, Aldershot, Hampshire, seated number 11, Wild Thing.
So, finally, a robot that is exceptional.
A robot that's, what's the word? Good.
Yeah. So this robot is a... It's a shield on wheels, this time with a...
Pokey.
Self-writing spike.
Yeah, this is a wild thing before it kind of became its final form.
Oh, it's one of these robots. It's a perfect example. And there's a couple other robots in this series of recordings that we're going to cover that has the same thing, where it's like the whole purpose of this is to document the evolution of combat robotics.
Yes.
And very few robots evolve as much as Wild Thing.
Yeah. Looking on the its page on the Robot Wars wiki, just because, like, obviously season 7 is like one of my least seen seasons, so much so that I've actually went back and watched it a couple of times since we started doing this, and completely forgetting the Wild Thing turns into
season 6, you mean?
As a season 6,
yeah,
that it changes into the flat horizontal spinner.
Yeah,
and it was just like, that was so jarring when it was like, huh, I don't remember this happening.
Yeah, it's such a different shape from season 5 and season 4 and
Extreme, I suppose. And
Extreme as well, yeah. Obviously, one thing that has changed very drastically, and actually since we started recording the series, is the driver of Wild Thing, Nick Adams, is sadly no longer with us.
Yeah. I was thinking about this while watching this episode, and it's like, it's that kind of thing where it's like, it's very sad, obviously, to see, but like at the same time, it's kind of one of these things where it's like, I suppose it's kind of one of those things you don't think about when it's like, you kind of watch this stuff, and so some of the sort of like, more elderly at the time roboteers, and it's like realizing that this shit was like 20 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so like sometimes you just kind of forget that. And it's, yeah, like it was like a very sad day when we had to receive that news. And but it's also kind of, again, it's kind of what I said before about when some roboteers passed away. It's like, it's That's why, like, I enjoy doing this. It's like kind of this thing of, they have, like, you know, essentially a nice period of their life that's kind of immortalized in TV. And so it's like that kind of nice thing to kind of continue going back and kind of watching all this sort of stuff and like reminiscing. So it's like, you know, they'll be remembered through this. And so it's kind of nice to go back and remember them in that this sort of way.
The match itself, Steel Avenger gets a bit of luck here, because what kind of happens is,
yeah,
Wild Thing decides to bully Steel Avenger, and Humphrey just kind of...
Humphrey's about.
Until... And what happens is, Wild Thing does get Steel Avenger over.
Yeah, it gets stuck on the wall. Like, but because it was in Matilda's zone...
Matilda gets to play with it, and it plays with it in a way that gets it back on its wheels.
Yeah. So Humphrey had potential here to go through if Matilda just left it alone.
Absolutely.
Something that's actually kind of interesting is obviously a spoiler for the next match, but because, as usual, I have this playing on in the background just as, you know, just to have it on. When it cuts to backstage and they're talking to Humphrey, you can see Scorpion in the background already charred from its match. So clearly, yes, clearly that match happened before this.
Absolutely.
But we'll finish this match first, obviously. Yeah, this, as you kind of says, like, Steel Avenger gets stuck on the wall and Matilda helps write it. And Wild Thing and Steel Avenger just kind of go at it, and Humphrey is just kind of stopped in the corner.
And then, yeah, you just see this sort of... And it's that moment of, oh, it's dead, it's dead. Oh, it moved straight into dead metal.
Yeah, and that was like his last gasp effort to move, and it's like, oh, we're moving, moving. Oh, no, 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 we're dead metal bait now.
Yep. And it turns out a chain in the drive broke.
Yes, a lawnmower chain, apparently.
Right, okay.
Because I think Julia was like, is that a bike chain? And it's like, well, it's a lawnmower chain. For your information.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that just kind of snapped, and it was kind of done from there.
Yep. Well, so.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly, you know, thrilling.
The next match.
From Birstall, Leicestershire, Reactor.
Which is a rather unique shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wedge robot with a giant bulbous thing between its wheels and the front of the wedge. And...
What are the wheels made of?
Wood.
Because I'm a joiner, and I can make them.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, totally fair enough, but, like, can you not just make them out of metal?
I'll be honest, the wheels aren't its problem.
Just a thought.
The wheels are not its problem, quite frankly.
Speaking of robots that have problems, from Barden, Surrey, Scorpion.
This robot looks like it belongs in season one.
Yeah. Not even season two.
It's made of fiberglass, and it has the old... Instead of putting a good weapon, we're going to put, like, 72,000 little bits of saws, including a chainsaw, and...
That never works.
Yeah, it's kind of... It
sure looks... is terrifying, and definitely the stuff of nightmares.
I mean, yeah, if you woke up with that in the same room as you, you would go, what the fuck?
But it's not even like in the way that's like, oh, it's a robot that's here to kill me. It's just like, wow, that's fucking terrifying to look at.
Yep. And, yeah, this robot,
sure as a robot.
It exists.
I feel like Scorpion and Pierce the Resistance would make a good tag team.
No, I think Scorpion's too powerful.
Yeah, really? You don't think Pierce the Resistance is the better of the two of them?
No. Even I'm not that deluded.
Well, it's the first time for everything. And their opponent, from South Ockenden. Ockenden. Ockenden? Essex. Seated number 27, Sir Cromelot.
So, Sir Cromelot is back, this time with... A very, very large number of cheerleaders with it.
Yep. You have a bunch of ugly cheerleaders.
Why? They're trying their best.
Well, I did actually note that later on. It's like, well, at least they're getting work, I guess.
I mean, it's kind of... It's not like... You know, if you had, like, cheerleaders from America, they would kind of blow this away. But, you know what, it's for...
It sure does show it's in the UK.
Yeah.
I'm going to hell. Yeah, and then backstage they're like, oh, look, here's our drill. It's like Sir Kilowatts, except ours is better. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, it's... Anyway.
And then it drives directly into Scorpion and bends.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just like Sir Kilowatts does.
Not.
Oy vey. This match was not good.
No.
When Sir Chromalot is the best of the three robots.
Yes.
You got a problem here.
There is this awesome moment where Sir Chromalot and Reactor team up to flip over Scorpion.
Yeah. It's bad when it's like, oh, we need to team up to take out Scorpion. And it's like...
I do love that it's Sergeant Bash that's in and going, this tail is mine.
Yoink.
My tail now.
Yeah, because, like, Shunt's into smashing faces, and I guess Sergeant Bash is into keeping tails or appendages.
Yep. My tail now.
And as we kind of alluded to, like, it gets scorched on the flame pit, and then Sergeant Bash takes the tail, and as we said, like, in the background, when Humphrey was being spoken to by Julia, you could see Scorpion in the background, which is actually really a big spoiler when you think about it.
Yeah, and it's... The other thing as well, apparently it's actually Chromalot that killed Scorpion because they punctured the wheel, and that's why it wasn't moving as freely as it should have been.
I think it's like the static spike that they have is definitely like significantly better than their active drill weapon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it does have like a decent amount of speed to it, and you can see it was definitely doing some kind of piercing to Scorpion during the match.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have like literally three lines of notes for this match, and one of them is Sir Kilowatt still has the cat three tail.
Yes, he does.
Don't even think it's cat three yet.
Was it Caterkiller?
Caterkiller in this season.
Yeah, it's Caterkiller.
Yeah. So that's the extent of what I got from this match. It was kind of dull.
It was indeed incredibly dull. Hi guys, Alan
and Douglas
here with a slight break from the main show. I just say thanks to the people without whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
If you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the botcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode.
Do you know something that was not dull?
Was it the pinball?
It was the pinball.
I remember this being better when I was a kid.
So do I. Like, I watched this back and I was like, wait, I know that they win this, but that was not a good run.
Yeah.
Like, they start off with going for the barrels, they get a 50-point buffer, the multi-ball, the car door, the ramp, and then a second 50 points, but there was a point where, like, one of the Gemini, I should probably mention that that's the team that
running the pinball.
There's a point where one of the Gemini are right next to, like, the second set of barrels, but they don't go for them. And it's like, that's the easiest points that you could have here.
Absolutely. And it's, that said, I think that's maybe quite telling of how effective they were. That they didn't even need to touch one set of barrels and it was still enough.
As I say, like, kinda, they get the 250 point buffers, but they didn't get the 75. So it's making me wonder where all these points came from.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure. The other thing is, you don't know if it maybe was, if it didn't track it getting the 75. Because I know they did that a couple times. They did, like, one robot went into the house robot, the house robot goes, argh! And then the other one sneaks behind it.
Actually, I'm watching it back now, and the target is lit up.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, it must have just, they must have just got it, like, off camera. But I feel like that's a weird thing, that they didn't catch that, or they didn't show it, because, like, that's, obviously, that's a very big target to get, and so for them to just completely disregard the fact they got that was quite interesting.
It also means that, and I think it's King Buxton, it was one of the robots, it missed the 75 target by an inch.
Yeah.
And that was, and that actually would have been enough to win them the pinball tournament.
Yeah. I definitely think we spoke about that during that run. It was just, yeah, because King Buxton is third with 225. So if it would have got that 75, like, that would have definitely won it, because they would have had more than Gemini did, because Gemini came out with 255.
As I said, both of us have the same thing of, because we first saw it when we were like 10, we're like, oh, it's chaos, and then everything was everywhere, and it was the greatest run ever. And then it's a great run. I mean, it is a great run. It's the one, it's the run that wins, but still.
Yeah. I remember it being so much better than it was.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it was a good tactic, as you kind of says, with the way that one half of the robot was like, "Ooh, look at me, I'm a robot," and then the house robots were like, "Ah, num num," and then the other one's just like, "Yup."
So that means we then move on to the semi-finals.
Yes.
And, well, the most exciting thing I've got about the first match is that Wild Thing has a new faceplate.
Yeah.
Because other than that, I mean, this is one of these matches where it is so obvious Wild Thing's winning this match.
I feel like this whole episode,
yeah, there is a sort of inevitability about it, isn't there?
Yeah. It's, but, it wasn't exactly the best field.
But yeah, it's, Reactor is bullied, is thrown about, is slammed into everything. Now, Jonathan Pierce annoyed me here.
Okay.
Because he kept on going on about, eh, Wild Thing can't finish the job. To which you're going, but he doesn't need to, because he is so obviously won.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, I mean, it's, yeah, okay, he didn't knock them out, but at the same time, it's, he was never in any danger, so why does he need to?
Well, he done that in the first match as well. There was a point where, I think it was the point where he pushed Steel Avenger into the into Matilda, and then like JP started going absolutely ballistic about the fact that it's like, ooh, Wild Thing drove into the CPZ. It's like he's literally on like the red sort of outline of it, and it's like he's clearly nowhere near in danger. And, yeah. And then Matilda turns around and starts attacking Steel Avenger right away, and JP's like, ooh, that's bad driving. It's like, is it?
But yeah, it's just kind of, it's bizarre, but anyway, so Wild Thing wins, and we get on to the Clash of the Shiny Boys.
Look at the shiny, shiny.
It is definitely the shiniest of battles. And yeah. The Steel Avenger takes on Sir Chromalot.
Yeah, and before this, Sir Chromalot sure have to waste time with their cheerleaders again.
I think you'll find it's more, because this is the noticeable thing, when they don't have the second competition, there's a lot more, we have to interview everyone.
Yeah.
Multiple times. Yeah, there are so many things that are just kind of taking up time.
Oh, and this sure took up my time.
Yep. So, the actual match itself, Steel Avenger can't get a good hit.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it just, yeah, well, the best part of the whole match was when JP kept coming to it. It's like, down comes the X missed. Down comes the X missed. And he just, down comes, oh wait, no, never mind.
Yeah. It's one of those, and it's almost like, at first you're going, I don't remember Sir Chromalot winning this. But it must be Sir Chromalot that wins this, because at least it can actually hit with its weapons, and then it just slows down. And its drill is broken.
It's a waggling stick.
And then it gets pitted.
Ugh. My God. I think it's pretty safe to say, like, we're not exactly very enthused with this episode.
I mean, I do like the final match.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of saying something about the rest of the field for this episode.
Well, let's go on to the final match, where the only good robot takes on the only other semi-competent robot.
Yeah. Because Wild Thing takes on the Steel Avenger.
And, yeah, this is real good fun. You've got Steel Avenger's just, it's one of these things where Steel Avenger, at its full speed, is able to live with Wild Thing. The problem is that Wild Thing's acceleration is so much better that they just can't get in a good enough position.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is this wonderful moment where Wild Thing just charges Steel Avenger over. It shoulder barges it over.
This is the thing with Wild Thing, is it's very underrated in terms of a robot, because it's such a weird shape. And just get, like, kind of looking at it, you wouldn't think it has the kind of pushing power that it does.
Yeah.
So when it's starting to, like, just, you know, shove other robots around, you're just kind of like, wow, like, you kind of forget, like, how powerful this robot really is.
It's because it looks so diminutive.
Yeah, it's very small looking in comparison to a lot of other robots.
Yeah.
But yeah, it flips over Steel Avenger, and Steel Avenger's Shreemax do not work.
No, they do not.
Yeah. I mean, Steel Avenger was never really one of my favorite robots. But it does all right, I guess. Like, in its career, it's definitely, it's memorable in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just never like that next level kind of robot that like some other robots obviously end up becoming. Like, for example, obviously Wild Thing, as we were kind of talking about earlier.
Steel Avenger, it's one of those. It is the definition of a solid mid-carder.
Yes.
I mean, the other robot I'd probably put in this is something like Catfree, or like, well, basically what Mortis ended up becoming, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, these robots that, or Deator's another example of, they never quite got their moment. And, well, Exterminator almost had this as well. They never get their moment of glory.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them against 90% of robots and they'll breeze past them.
Yeah. And I think that's quite a good way to sort of explain, like, Exterminator, like, taking Season 7 out of the equation.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, when it comes to Season 7 for Exterminator, that was their main event push.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, to get on to the trivia.
Let's.
So, the trivia. By the pattern of seeds, this episode should actually be Heat F. Huh. It's unknown whether the seeds were swapped or if the episodes were shot as depicted and simply broadcast in a different order.
Seems the most likely.
Heat M was the only exception to the Sacromal tradition of losing in round 2 of Heat D to the eventual Heat winner. This was due to Sacromalot being seeded and losing to the Heat runner-up.
Hmm.
Which makes me think that's... So that must have happened with the rest of Sacromalot's run. I don't remember that. Anyway, this was the only Heat in Series 4 in which all 6 robots would return at least once.
Interesting.
The kill cam footage of Humphrey and Scorpion in the Eliminators would go on to be used in the new titles introduced in Robot Wars Extreme.
It sure did. Humphrey immortalized in the opening of Robot Wars for years.
Yep. Despite being seeded 11th, Wild Thing was never announced as the seed during the entire Heat.
That's weird.
And as Steel Avenger fought Team Reactor in Heat I of Series 7, it leaves Scorpion as the only robot in this Heat to never fight Steel Avenger.
Now that's an interesting little tidbit.
Which means that they should have had a fantasy match in the magazine. Since that apparently counts.
Uh-huh.
Still salty about that. So, we'll go on to, well, firstly, best newcomer. So, which one is it? Is it the terrible robot that broke down? The terrible robot that got flipped over? Or the terrible robot that looked into getting its ass handed to it by Wild Thing?
Can it go be Reactor?
It's got to be Reactor, yeah, just purely by, well, Reactor made it won a match.
Yeah. Well, it survived a match.
Yeah. So, most improved. I'm not sure about this one, because I think you'd have a justifiable argument for all of them.
Yeah, I suppose so. The fact that, like, for example, Sir Cromwell actually dealt damage in this one, for a start, so...
It knocked a robot out.
Yeah.
It actually took out a robot.
Steel Avenger looks... It looked more impressive. It still doesn't... It still not reached its peak yet, but it got to a heat final.
Mm-hmm.
And Wild Thing certainly seems to be an improvement.
Yeah, well, it has a weapon. Well, obviously it had the arm at the back of the robot last year, but it didn't had, really...
It was a waggling stick.
Yeah. The big pointy. But this year, now that it's on the front, like, it also acts as a Shroomech, which is the whole reason it lost in Season 3, was because it didn't have that before.
Yep.
So I think that's, like, it's definitely an improvement of, well, this is what happened last time, and here's the improvement for it.
Yep.
And now we've counteracted it.
Certainly. So I think we'll give it to Wild Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Overperformer of the episode has to be Reactor, the fact it won a match.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And I do think underperformer would probably be Chromalot, because it actually is a decent robot.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't like them, but it's...
It's whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would probably be inclined to agree with that. Like, it is a decent little bot, and I mean, to be honest, like, this is when we talk about final forms, this isn't even Chromalot's final form.
Absolutely not. So that brings us to the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And next week we will be covering episode N.
N for not your mama's Robot Wars.
Nope. It's the Battle of the Beefy Boys.
Yes, beef.
That beefy Arnold Terminator.